In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Friday, before the great feast of Pentecost, is also the first Friday of the month, and so we set aside the feast of St. Norbert, as much as we would love to preach on the way he reformed the clergy, and he is a great example of the Holy Spirit's gift of piety, by the way. So if you want to get an insight into the gift of the Holy Spirit, called Piety, read a little bit about the life of St. Norbert and the order he founded, which is commonly called the Norbertines. The Norbertines is the way they're usually referred to. In any case, great example of the Holy Spirit's gift of piety and of the great virtue of reverence. Okay, so he's a good saint to read about for that. But we set him aside today to preach on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, here on this first Friday of the month of June. As you surely know, every month is dedicated to some aspect of this of the supernatural life or to some devotion, right? So each month has a virtue assigned to it. For example, you can get St. Alphonsus's book called The 12 Steps to Holiness and Perfection, and the 12 steps are for the 12 months, and it's just each month has a virtue assigned to it. But also, each month has a special devotion assigned to it. And this month, of course, is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Even as last month was the Blessed Virgin Mary, and next month is the Precious Blood. Okay, July is the Precious Blood. But this month, June, is the month of the Sacred Heart. So on the first Friday, we should say a few words about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, especially in relation to the mystery of Pentecost. A reminder again of the first Friday devotion. 9 months in a row, on the first Friday of those months, to receive Holy Communion fulfills the first Friday devotion. So to receive Holy Communion in the state of grace on the first Friday of 9 consecutive months is the first Friday devotion. It's a particular devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, this heart which has loved us so much, which we have loved so little, and yet he continues to love us so much. And this devotion is a particular way of being prepared for a holy death, right? That's what the first Friday devotion is all about, is to help us be well prepared for a holy death so that when it does come time for the particular judgment, we remember that it's this heart which has loved us to the point of being pierced in our behalf. This is the heart we go to be judged, right? So we don't have to be afraid. That's what the first Friday devotion is all about. So we don't have to be afraid of Jesus. So we don't have to be afraid of the judgment. But that we can run to him, right? That we can run to him and immerse ourselves in the burning furnace of charity, which is his Sacred Heart. So that's what the first Friday devotion is all about, to help us to see the great love of our Savior. So then, today, just a brief homily on the Sacred Heart of Jesus in relation to the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. Jesus is, of course, called the Christ, the Anointed One. And he is called the Anointed One because he's anointed in a most profound and perfect way by the Holy Spirit. Now, when we say he is the Anointed One, we speak principally of his humanity, right? Obviously, as God, he is perfectly filled with the Holy Spirit, even as the Holy Spirit is perfectly filled with him and with the Father likewise, because all three persons dwell within each other, right? So the Father is entirely in the Son, and the Son is entirely in the Father, and the Father and the Son are entirely in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is entirely in the Father and the Son. So this mutual indwelling, we call it, the mutual indwelling, that each of the three divine persons dwell perfectly and wholly one within the other. So of course we say, as God, the Son is perfectly filled with the Holy Spirit, even as the Holy Spirit is perfectly filled with the Son. Okay? But when we call Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, we're speaking principally of his humanity now. And we say that his humanity is anointed by the Holy Spirit. And this is what makes his heart to be sacred. Right? This is what makes his heart to be the Sacred Heart. Because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. that his heart is most eminently holy and sacred because it is perfectly the temple of the Holy Spirit. From the very moment he was conceived, he was the Christ. From the very moment he was conceived, his heart was perfectly filled and anointed by the Holy Spirit. In fact, we can say that in this dark, sad world, his heart is this abyss for the Spirit, right? You know, of immeasurable depths, right? Filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can think of the heart of Jesus as this vast ocean, right? This vast ocean which cannot even be measured, which is so perfectly filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, the Blessed Virgin Mary was likewise perfectly filled with the Holy Spirit. But she is yet a creature entirely, totally a creature. Now, Jesus' humanity was created. His humanity was certainly created, right? His humanity is a creature too. And yet his humanity, not to get too much into the philosophy, but his humanity exists by his divinity. Right? So his humanity doesn't have a sort of separate act of existence, but in fact is incorporated into his divine person. So there's no human person. Right? It's only a divine person. He is a divine person. So even in his humanity, yet nevertheless, this man is God. Right? This man is God. So he's anointed then in a most profound and perfect way by the Holy Spirit. And every other anointing with the Holy Spirit is a participation in Christ's own anointing. Right? So our own growth in holiness is a participation in his sacred heart, which is so perfectly filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we say that from his fullness we have all received. Right? From the fullness of the heart of Jesus, we have all received. And what have we received? Grace upon grace, that is the Holy Spirit. So from the fullness of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we have received the Holy Spirit. Now it's a human heart, right? The Sacred Heart of Jesus is a human heart, aflame with divine love, which makes it immeasurable, right? It's immeasurable. And in a certain respect, it's even infinite, but yet a human heart. Now, in his ascension into heaven, this sacred human heart of our Savior, and we do mean, of course, the human organ, right? The heart organ, that's what we're worshiping in the Sacred Heart devotion. First and foremost, we're worshiping his human heart, the muscle that beats, right, within his human body, that's beating right now as we speak. That heart is beating, right? It's an amazing thought. Well, one of that heart is alive. That sacred human heart really is alive. But obviously that muscle, the human heart, that muscle is a sign for his love. It's a sign for the love of his human soul. And it's also a sign for the divine love that perfectly fills and motivates his human soul. So it's from this heart, which has ascended into heaven, which has ascended above the heavens, it's from this heart that the Holy Spirit comes down upon the world. Right? The Holy Spirit is sent from the heart of our Savior into our hearts. Right? The Holy Spirit is sent from the heart of Jesus into the world. Now, it's only Jesus, only in his divinity, that he sends the Holy Spirit. Right? It's not in his humanity. Certainly we would say it's not by his humanity, is the technical phrase. It's not by his humanity that he sends the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's by his divinity that together with the Father, he sends the Holy Spirit. And yet it's from his human heart that the Holy Spirit comes to the world. And it's through his human heart that the Holy Spirit comes into the world. Okay, so now just a final, very practical point, just a very simple practical point to make. In these days, in this novena of Pentecost, this Pentecost novena, these 9 days between the ascension of our Lord into heaven last Thursday, he ascended, right? between the ascension of our Lord into heaven and the feast of Pentecost, we have these 9 days where we're asking for the full outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and especially of the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit, into our soul, right? To enlighten our minds and to inflame our wills, enlighten our minds with wisdom and light, inflame our wills with fire and love. Okay. Now, if we're trying to grow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to be more docile to the Holy Spirit's inspirations and movements, we have a perfect model in Jesus, right? So he's the cause. His human heart is the instrumental cause of the 7 gifts working within us. And so it's his heart that causes our hearts to receive the Holy Spirit, right? Because it's through his heart that our hearts are filled with the Holy Spirit. But likewise, we can say he's the exemplar cause. Or we look to him and go towards him, right? So he's an example for us that we strive to imitate. So if you want to grow in the 7 gifts, meditate on how Jesus exemplifies the 7 gifts in his own life. Right? This is how we can grow in all the virtues, but even in the gifts, even to be more docile to the Holy Spirit's movement through his 7 gifts. To meditate on how Jesus exemplifies the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Right? To see how the 7 gifts and to consider how the 7 gifts are there in their fullness in the heart of our Savior. And so when you read sacred scripture, and especially when you're praying the rosary and meditating on the mysteries of our Lord's life, death, and resurrection, to think about how the Holy Spirit was moving within him and how those gifts can be seen. And all the gifts are there in each of the mysteries, okay? So we just need to take time to meditate on them, right? All the gifts are there in each of the mysteries of the rosary, right? So to take that time to meditate on how Jesus is the example for us and also the cause for us, he's the cause for us of growing in the fullness of the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.